Caduceus Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our theme for today is the value of service, part two. However, I just want to mention briefly that we'll be talking more about a gift that we'll be sending out to you. We'll be happy to do that if you call us on our toll-free number. But let's look into the details of that gift a little later. When we can focus on that. All of the dialogue that you'll hear on this show, it emanates from the works of Alice Bailey, who wrote 24 volumes of literature. I guess it can best be described as literature that the subject of which is spiritual philosophy. And the following quote also is from Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. The idea of service is, at this time, the major idea to be grasped, for in grasping it, we open ourselves wide to the new incoming influences. That's an intriguing thought, because if we behave in a way that we enjoy doing service to others, and we get an intrinsic value, and we really love doing it, then we do get a reward without looking for that reward. And apparently the reward is to become open, that we ourselves become open to the wide new incoming influences. But I hope those influences, what are those incoming influences? I hope they're positive.
Well, it's a reference to the new age. Probably many of our listeners have heard that we're moving into a new age. What that means essentially is that we're moving into a new era in human consciousness, where people are more responsive to a number of qualities or characteristics that were not so prominent in the past. One is the idea of a group relationship, and particularly of a subjective group relationship with their fellow human beings. I think we can see this realization in the growing idea of networking that's so prevalent, and in the amazing growth of the internet that is a physical symbol of this network of relationships of common values and ideals that links people all over the planet with each other. This is an essential aspect of the new incoming influence, brotherhood. The idea of freedom is another aspect of the incoming age. All of these are conditioning us for a new type of approach to service.
Service, yes, is the basic influence for the this new energies of what is called the Aquarian influence, and its symbol is the man with a water pot on his shoulder, and that's kind of the symbol of service right there. The water pot that never empties. It never empties. It keeps flowing.
Actually, it was Christ mentioned it in the New Testament when he had the Last Supper with his disciples, mm-hmm. and he told them to look for the man with the water pot, implying that that would be his future presence on earth, and that is the age of Aquarius, which we're entering now. But that's another story in another program.
Sounds like an interesting story, though. I really think that most of us, including myself at one point in time, had a certain definition of what service is, and sometimes it was affiliated in my own consciousness about being a job, I guess. But do you think that our understanding of service is changing?
Yes, it is. And you make me think back to my own childhood. When I was a very tiny girl, I loved to draw. And I used to draw pictures of nurses with red crosses on their nurses' caps. That was my idea of service. Now nurses don't even wear caps. And if my mother were ill, I'd go out and pick dandelions and tie a bow in her hair. That was how I understood to serve when I was two or three. Can you imagine my mother? She endured that so sweetly.
Oh, I bet she loved it.
Well, fortunately, I guess, my understanding of service is evolving, and that's probably true of all of us. We start out thinking it's something that you do for another person, and that's a good intention. There are things we should do for others, but gradually we come to understand that it is more what we are for others, how we relate to them, the essential quality that we project or emanate towards them. I think service is becoming more and more subjective and not so focused on the outer form and action. And I was thinking that maybe this is one of the effects resulting from the crisis caused by the events of September 11th, because we've seen from that crisis that traditional ways of service, sitting down and talking with people with whom you have a difference, trying to reason, trying to find common ground, trying to overcome hatred with forbearance and a good attitude. Some of these things don't seem to work in overcoming this enormous chasm of difference. So I think now we're realizing that if we're going to change the world, we need to serve in a whole new way, starting out with maybe more silence.
Yes, and I think we have this changing nature of service has been kind of growing on us imperceptibly. It's just something we've taken on. I mean, look at our country. It used to be a manufacturing-based country, but now it's moving very closely to a service-based country. The service industries are far and above more stronger and more prominent than the manufacturing capacity. And so all that sort of thing has grown ever since, especially since as you mentioned, the invention of the personal computer. I think the service industries has grown because now there are services in just about every aspect of life, and they all involve some kind of computer work or computer services, and there's been an increase in the social welfare programs and philanthropy, all the dot-com people that made their pile of money. Many of them are turning to philanthropy to find uses for that money, and that's all response to the impulse of service. I think that's coming through by way of the soul. And I think this will continue to change and undergo a tremendous transformation in the next few thousand years, because, as we just said, the influence of the energies that we're being subjected to now in this age of Aquarius is based on the impulse to serve. And that's what's going to characterize human life for many, many years to come, I think.
Well, when I think of service, and especially the way both of you describe service and give your definition, which so much of it comes from the works of Alice Bailey, it's wonderful, but is it possible that are there any pitfalls to service?
Oh, yes.
Are there really?
Oh, sure. There's a selfish service. You might think that's an oxymoron, but there is a kind of selfish service that really, underneath it all, has as an objective the gain of something for oneself, even if it's to relieve one's own discomfort at seeing another's misery. For example, the good people that might see a homeless person here in New York and insist on finding that person a dwelling. Mm-hmm. Whereas the person himself may not be in any condition to maintain a dwelling, to meet the rent, to mm-hmm. keep the furniture and the food supply stocked, and to live, if it's an apartment, in a building with other people without disturbing them. That's an idea, that's an example of selfish service where you want to relieve that person's condition because it makes you feel bad. You wouldn't want to live on the street homeless, so you think they don't either. There has to be an awful lot of sensitivity and of psychological understanding about people to know how to serve rightly without interfering or doing what you think is best, which then becomes a kind of imposition. Another pitfall of service is martyrdom, where you give of yourself, but you feel bad about it, and you feel put upon, and you feel, mm-hmm. poor me. And there's an awful lot of that going around. I think it's tied into the idea that as you serve, you deplete your resources, which in fact mm-hmm. is not true spiritual service. The real service of the soul never runs out of more to give, just as the water pot that we referred to never empties out. But a lot of people think it's like a cash register, that every time you go in and open the drawer and take something out, there's less there for the next time. So you pay it all out in service, and then you're left empty.
A lot depends on the motivation of the server and where that motivation is coming from. If it's coming from a more an emotional feeling point in one's consciousness, then that's going to kind of put a glamour on the service that that person does. And the glamour of service is really one of the pitfalls that one has to be careful of. And I think those who are stepping on the path and for the first time perhaps are very prone to do this, and they're still very much involved in their feelings and wanting, as you say, to be relieved of this situation of suffering, mm-hmm. because they feel it more than the person themselves. So there's a lot of perhaps personal ambition involved and importance in getting his ideas across, and may think that he is has the only way to serve and to force his ideas to be the way of service. And I think that builds up a tremendous amount of glamour and pride in oneself.
Yeah, the knowing what's best for people kind of server. Nobody wants to be helped by someone who thinks they know what's best for you. They don't. What they really need to do is help you figure out what is best for you. That inner awareness of what your need is present within every human being. And the authentic service awakens the realization of that need, of that next step in one's development within the person, so that they can then take that step. This is what a really gifted teacher does with a student, awakens that student to what his next step is. It doesn't tell him, you need to do this and this. And it's the same with a really good parent. They don't overcome the child's will. They help the child realize what his will is. Every child is a soul in incarnation. What is the will of that soul to do in this lifetime? The parent and the teacher can help the child awaken to that. That's service.
So a good teacher, then, is one who brings to the surface the gold or the value that's already there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Education, after all, means to lead forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we approach it more as a open up and pour into a child.
Yeah. So we should focus more on discovering the hidden talents mm-hmm. that the child has been born with.
Yeah. Drawing out what is present within that child. It's not the same in every child. It's different. But there's something within the person that's waiting to come into fruition.
Mm-hmm. All right. And for those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. And our topic for today is the value of service, part two. Earlier in the show, I spoke about a gift. And all you have to do to get that gift is to give us a call on our toll-free number. The title of the gift is The New Group of World Servers. And it's a pamphlet, quite a few pages in the pamphlet, but I think that you can explore even greater depth what we're talking about today and the value of service. And once again, the title of the pamphlet is The New Group of World Servers. And give us a call on our toll-free number in order to order the gift. The phone number is 1-866-695-8247. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember the number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York, LUCIS. Call us. We'll be happy to send it out to you free of charge. And also, all the work of the LUCIS Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the LUCIS Trust. We are not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, if you want that gift that I mentioned earlier, just give us a call on our toll-free number, and we'll be happy to send it to you. 1-866-695-8247, the easy way, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. We speak about the 24 volumes upon which this show is based. They're written by Alice Bailey. However, if you want to more or less get an overview of what the spiritual philosophy is of Alice Bailey and what we talk about a lot at our meetings, you can certainly start by looking at our book, Ponder on This, which is a compilation of the works of Alice Bailey, more or less a cross-section of a lot of her ideas, and I think you'll be fascinated by it. It's interesting reading. And also, our most commonly asked question is, who are you? What are you all about? We're not a religion. We're, for lack of a better expression, I guess we'd consider ourselves a spiritual philosophy organization, and people from all walks of life come to our meetings, many different religious backgrounds. And I guess our commonality is the idea of the improvement of mankind. And with that said, let's continue with our show. Why is service, why is it so closely linked to spiritual growth?
Because there's a spiritual law that says that which is received must in turn be shared. You can never receive spiritual benefit and keep it for yourself. It's the law that it has to be shared. The more you give, the more you can receive to give again. And thus, in giving gain, as the spiritual teaching says, you have to release it in order to receive more. You have to open your palms and let it go in order to receive still greater riches. So service puts you in the flow of a spiritual energy, which is cyclic or circular, that in time makes giving and receiving the same. So that there's no sense of depleting oneself or of being owed anything. There's just the joy of giving, of energy, of spiritual abundance, and more automatically replaces it, just as a river never runs out of water, unless there's a terrible drought. There's more water that follows in the wake of the water that ran past a particular point. There's always more coming. That's service, and that's spiritual growth. So another aspect of what links service to spiritual growth is that I think it helps one to begin to see the link between intention and actual reality. You get more and more aware of the effect of your choices and your actions. You start out, well, as it said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yeah. Well, you start out with good intentions, and sometimes they don't work out so well. That's what you discover by serving, that certain intentions may not be so well-founded as you thought. So it helps you to see how you handle energy.
Yeah, you learn to serve by serving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, as I think we've mentioned before, what it does, it has a beneficial effect upon the individual, because it goes right to the heart center. If it's a true, spontaneous giving of oneself and sharing of oneself, then that begins to open the heart center. And that's why it's so closely linked to spiritual growth, because once that heart center begins to open, so much of the energies that from the lower, the solar plexus region and lower regions are lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
As Christ said, "If I be lifted up, all men are drawn unto me," and that's essentially what Christ stands as, the heart center of the humanity. And the heart center within the human being has the same effect. It's a magnetic effect that draws all the lesser and lower energies upward. And that's the beginning of the path, really.
The heart center, spiritually, is the center of life. when your heart dies, you're dead. And we too often use the reference to the heart as some kind of mushy, touchy-feely response mechanism, whereas that's really more the solar plexus. The heart is the seat of the life, and a heart-to-heart contact with another human being quickens that vitality within them. Like I was saying earlier, what a good teacher or parent can do, it awakens the spiritual vitality or the spiritual force in another being, and not just human beings. There's a wonderful passage from the books of Alice Bailey that says that every human being who reaches the goal of light and wisdom automatically has this field of influence which reaches out towards this light and potency within another being, so that this kind of state of consciousness can quicken an animal, a pet, a flower if you're a gardener, your friends, your fellow human beings. It quickens whatever you come in contact with to fresh effort, to fuller realization of its flowerhood or its animalhood or its personhood. They are quickened by the presence of this true server. This inner potency is quickened. That's a wonderful description of true service, I think.
Yeah. Well, I know that many different organizations have their own type of meditation that they have adopted and that they're into, and of course, Lucis Trust has their own type of meditation, which I think is very effective for what you want to do. But is it true that that meditation can be used as a way of service?
Yes, a wonderful way of service. And our view of meditation is that all meditation rightly done serves. It serves on the level of consciousness. Even if you are meditating apparently at home in your chair, if you are linked in consciousness with your fellow spiritual seekers, you are serving by radiating energies of light and love and power into the realm of consciousness, where those energies can then make an impact on responsive minds. By responsive minds, I mean people of intelligence and of a basic goodwill and of high moral and spiritual values. Those people can be reached and impressed, in a sense, without their necessarily being aware of it, but they can be impacted by these energies of light and love and power, which are directed into the plane of consciousness through meditation.
And particularly in group meditation, which we advocate at the Lucis Trust, and which we practice at the Lucis Trust in our meditation meetings once a month. We have group meditations, which everybody is invited to attend if they would like. Mm-hmm. And call for a schedule, and we will gladly send it to you, and you may come and join us at no charge. And but this is a group service that we do every month, because we work on certain in meditation on certain keynotes and ideas and themes, and thereby building and strengthening these ideas, like love and sharing and goodwill, and bringing those ideas into and human consciousness, and thereby strengthening that those ideas throughout humanity's human consciousness. And also, there is, want to mention the work of Triangles?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Me? Triangles is a means of service through meditation. It's very simple. Groups of three people agree to form a triangle, a three-pointed unit, and they link with each other mentally in consciousness each day, see their triangle lighted with radiance and love and goodwill, and then they silently say, each one of them, wherever he or she lives, the great invocation, which always closes this program. And they see their triangle linked with the whole worldwide network of triangles A symbol for this might be the starry sky at night, where stars form patterns within the heavens. See that triangles network linking all these people and radiating light and goodwill into human consciousness. And it is a form of service. I once heard Kofi Annan give a speech at the Protestant Cathedral in Geneva, Switzerland, and he said, "I feel the impact of prayer and meditation for me, and it helps me." And he said it so sincerely that I knew he meant it. People in positions of difficulty and struggle are strengthened and uplifted by group meditation, by the radiation of love and light. They are lifted on their way. It's not an interfering kind of coercion. It simply gives them the resources of light and goodwill to work with in their own decisions.
Right, and these energies that we work with are not do not originate with us.
I mean, no.
we're simply acting as channels and as go-betweens between the spiritual powers that govern the earth and humanity.
That's the role of the human kingdom, to be a go-between, a channel for
right.
these energies.
Absolutely. And that's
man means thinking entity.
That's the greatest service that we can give to the world.
Yeah.
And once again, if you want that gift, we'll be happy to send it out to you. We spoke about a gift early in the show, and we spoke about it in detail, but just briefly, if you want the gift, just give us a call and on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. We'll be happy to send it out to you just on request. Or the easy way, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.